Hi, this is Ernie Brown for MyPillow.com. You know what? That pillow you've had for years, that's the reason you're not getting the great night's sleep you used to. I found that out the hard way. I had the same pillows on my bed for years. They flattened out, so I just stack them up. But the bottom line is sore neck and never a very deep sleep. I always felt tired in the morning. I heard a friend talking about MyPillow.com, and I said, okay, let's see what they have. Comfortable, machine washable and dryable, which is great when you're getting over a cold or flu, a 10-year warranty, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. For a pillow, you bet. It's well worth it. Here's what I'd like you to do. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, and type in the code USA. That's it. Do that, you'll get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com, promo code USA. It gets you the four-pack of pillows for 50% off. Or call this number, 800-951-8175, 800-951-8175.
One of President Trump's strongest supporters took to Sunday morning TV to defend his comments on Charlottesville. Chris Barnes with details.
Longtime supporter of President Trump, Jerry Falwell Jr., says when the president spoke of the Charlottesville, Virginia protests, he was just telling it like it is. Falwell saying on ABC's This Week,
his willingness to call evil and terrorism by its name, to identify the groups, the Nazis, the KKK, the white supremacists, and that's something a leader should do, and I admire him for that.
But a small but growing number of alumni of Liberty University have been returning their diplomas to protest Falwell's tweet that he was proud of what he called Trump's bold and truthful statement about the tragedy in Charlottesville. I'm Chris Barnes.
The rate of divorce in Saudi Arabia is spiking, and officials say the reasons aren't that solid. One Saudi man divorced his wife because she walked ahead of him. Another divorced his wife because she visited her family without permission. USA Radio News.
Allergies. Pollen in the air. Dogs in the house. Mold in the basement. Whatever triggers your allergy symptoms, it can really hold you back. Break through with Allegra 5-in-1 Relief. Allegra works fast, won't make you drowsy, provides 24-hour multi-symptom relief, and it's effective every day. Break through allergies with Allegra. Starts working in 1 hour, use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Legendary comedian Jerry Lewis passing away at the age of 91. We take a look back at his legendary career.
Entertainer and humanitarian Jerry Lewis is dead. He was discovered doing stand-up comedy in New York in the 1940s. That led to a chance meeting with Dean Martin and one of the greatest partnerships in American show business history. He made his film debut in 1949 with Dino and My Friend Irma.
All right, if you're going to keep on singing, would you do me a personal favor and sing the song you sing with the chore?
Chore?
Yeah, you know, when the fellas in the band all stand up together, they sing with you, ah.
C-H-O-I-R's choir.
After parting ways with Martin, he went on to a successful solo career as both actor and director. Lewis was as well known for his humanitarian work and his involvement with the MDA, an association that started in 1952 and lasted all the way through 2010.
You will never walk alone. Thank you.
A new study is finding a link between city lights and breast cancer. Researchers at Harvard Medical School found that younger women who smoke and live in areas with nighttime lights have a slightly higher risk of breast cancer. The study tracked more than 100,000 women for nearly 25 years. For women who smoked, the likelihood of breast cancer went up as they were exposed to more outdoor nighttime light. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Good afternoon. The weather today is mostly sunny with a high near 88. I thought it said 68. Sorry, I can read. Southwest winds around 7 miles per hour. Tonight, there's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 11 o'clock, then a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight. It'll be patchy fog after 2 a.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low around 69. Southwest winds 3 to 6 miles an hour. Tuesday, there's a slight chance and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. Patchy fog between 8 and 9 a.m. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 90. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 71. Southwest winds 8 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation is 40%. And Wednesday will be partly sunny with a high near 82. West winds around 7 miles an hour. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 59. Thursday, sunny with a high near 78. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 56. Friday, sunny with a high near 76 and mostly clear Friday night.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments at Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff, work out of our houses, that sort of thing. And what we try to do is help people who have a mental illness, either families who have someone in their family who has one, or someone they know or work with, or next-door neighbor or best friend or whatever. And we do it in various ways. One of the ways is we have a 12-week course that we teach, and it goes over medications and the different various mental illnesses and what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say in certain situations. And it tries to get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. All our classes are free. There is no charge for anything. All the material and everything is free. We also have a monthly support group, which meets every the third Thursday of every month, right in, here in Flemington at 52 East Main Street from 7 to 9. And we also have a class called Basics, which is for families who have younger children under the age of 18 who have various difficulties, either ADHD or childhood depression, etc. Again, all our classes are free. If you need any further information or want to have some questions you'd like to ask, you can call our number. It's 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man it 24/7, but we do check it at least twice a day, and we promise you we will get back to you within a reasonable amount of time. Today, we're very privileged to have with us today Scott Gallagher, and Scott is from the Learning Cooperatives. Now, there are two alternative learning centers, and they'll be opening a third in Flemington shortly. Welcome, Scott. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much.
First of all, I'd like to, what is your background that got you both involved with these schools?
Well, I've been a public school teacher for the last 17 years, and about 4 years ago, I went to an event held by Princeton Learning Cooperative. It was at the Lawrence Library, and there was a panel of teenagers and adults talking about the possibility of leaving school and doing something completely different with their high school years. And at the time, I was looking into alternative education for my daughter, who is now only 10, but So my wife and I were sort of looking at different things, and then I stumbled upon Princeton Learning Cooperative's website. I went to this event, and I just thought, this is a really amazing alternative for kids. And partly the reason is that I'm a public school teacher, and I see kids day to day that are smart, interesting, interested kids, but for whom school just does not do it for them, you know, for a number of reasons. So anyway, my involvement with the organization started, I've been a board member now for 4 years, and for the past year and a half to 2 years, I've been working with a partner, Mary Beth Healy, and to bring a center to downtown Flemington, and it will be the third center. The first is in Princeton, the second is in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. That's called Bucks Learning Cooperative, and we'll be opening the third in Flemington.
And how did these other two schools get started?
Well, sort of similar to my situation, there's a guy named Joel Hammond and another guy named Paul Scutt, both of whom were teaching in traditional traditional schools. One was in public school, one was in private. And they both also sort of looked around and said, you know, there's so many kids that are sort of slipping through or just kind of faking their way or just not getting out of the 4 years of high school the things that they really could be getting. And so Joel, he found there's a place in Massachusetts called North Star. And so North Star is basically, they've been doing for the last 20 years what the learning cooperatives here in New Jersey and Pennsylvania have been doing for the last seven. So Joel found North Star, and it was sort of, you know, an epiphany moment for him, and he called North Star up and asked how they did it and looked into their model and said, I have to replicate this in New Jersey. And so that was 7 years ago, and then he found Paul, who was teaching in Pennsylvania, and they, with a few other people, started very small. They were working out of the Arts Council of Princeton, like one room. They had a handful of kids. And over the last 7 years, it's grown.
How many children are attending these two schools?
Well,
approximately.
Right. So our Princeton Center is just about at capacity. At capacity, we would have 30 teens.
Okay.
Right now, we're at about, I think we have 28 or 29. So we're close. And our Bucks Center, we have a...
that's the one in Langhorne?
That's the one in Langhorne. Okay. So that's also sort of at capacity, but partly because we only have two full-time staff members. So we try to do a 10-to-1 ratio. So they're approaching 20 teens at their center. And our Raritan Center is... We currently have five kids signed up, ready to go. And a couple more sort of on the dock to sign up. So that's where we are with
okay.
the numbers. Yeah.
Now, the one you want to open in Raritan, the Raritan Learning Co-op in Flemington, is that considered a school?
It is not. We actually make a point of saying that we are not a school. We sort of prefer, even though it's a little bit clunky, we say an alternative to school. And partly the reason that we don't want to use the word school is we don't want any of the associations that people might have with school. We're very, very different with how we operate. We don't. It's not a school.
Okay. If it's not considered a school, how is it different from a regular school?
So I guess to start, I would say the big idea that we're trying to bring to people is that you don't necessarily need school in the formal sense to do all the things that you might want to do with your life. So if you want to go to college, if you want any job out there that you think might require a high school diploma, the fact is you don't need to go to school to do those things. And in some cases, if college is your thing, you may, by not going to school, actually, well, two things. One is you could start college earlier than a lot of kids the same age as you. Many of the kids that go to our centers, by the time they're 16 and 17, they're already dabbling in community college classes. So by the time their friends are graduating high school, when they leave our centers, they've already got 2, 3, 4 community college classes under their belt. But the other thing is that doing an alternative to school might actually, in some cases, make you more attractive when you apply to colleges. Because when colleges sort of look at the standard application and they say, okay, so 3.5 GPA, you know, vice president of student council, played on the soccer team, this is all great stuff. However, there might be a million other kids like that, right? Mm-hmm. So whereas if you take yourself out of school and you say, well, one day a week I went to New York and I did an internship in an architecture firm, and I took 2 community college classes, and on Tuesday mornings I was able to go to Trenton and volunteer at a homeless shelter, and you start building this whole sort of skill set that while all your friends are doing sort of, you know, biology and algebra and stuff like that, you're sort of living life and learning all these life skills. You can then go to college and say, look at all this stuff that I've done. That's not to say that at our co-ops you can't do biology and algebra, and many of the kids do those kinds of sort of more traditional academic things. But it sort of gives kids the freedom to sort of do a whole bunch of other stuff, whereas school can be very constraining.
Okay.
No,
it can.
You're digesting this.
No, I'm just trying to... Is the only students who go to your co-op, are they students who maybe can't exist in a public school due to, I don't know, they get bullied or they're fighting or whatever the case may be,
right?
Or they cut classes all the time because they're bored sick?
Mm-hmm. No, in fact, I mean, there's that population. There are kids that might be school phobic. There might be kids who have anxiety. There might be kids who have been bullied. But that doesn't make up all of the kids that come to us. Some of the kids are just plain old bored. And some of the kids, we might get a student who is really interested in dance, right? And she needs to go to New York, and she has to be there 3 days a week at 1 p.m. And so in order to facilitate that, she takes herself out of school and she puts together a more tailored program for what she wants to do to accommodate the other things in her life. So no, there's a lot of kids that come to us that are just your sort of run-of-the-mill kids, you know. I mean, I wouldn't say run-of-the-mill. I'd say they're all great. Right. But you know what I'm saying? They're not kids that are, you know, I mean, how do you put this nicely, right? It's like...
They're not
it's
necessarily
not,
kids who have problems.
Right.
Not necessarily.
Right. Not necessarily. Okay. Right. I mean, and so I think that the way that I think about our kids is that they sort of reflect generally, in almost every way, they generally reflect the population that you would see in a school. So if you were to take 100 kids from a public high school and say, okay, well, how many of these kids have problems, quote unquote, and then, you know, sort of look at percentages, you'd probably find the same kind of things with the kids that we have. But I think the difference might be is that those kids that might have certain things, because they're in this smaller environment, we sort of really kind of get to know them on a one-to-one basis, those, for many of the kids, those problems that exist in a traditional environment, sometimes they just evaporate when they come to a different environment and they're sort of met where they are. That makes sense.
No, I imagine you have to overcome a lot of hesitation on the part of parents who want to make sure we get the right, to get the SATs and the GPA. And what about college?
Sure. You know, absolutely. When we have events, I think that we've identified, you know, every month we've had events at the Flemington Library, at the Hunterdon County Library. And typically there are two main concerns. The first one is, what about college?
Right.
And so the answer to that is that college is available. The kids that come to us, the mechanism that they use to take themselves out of school is New Jersey homeschool law. So they declare themselves homeschooled. Mm-hmm. And the state of New Jersey is actually pretty lax about keeping up on kids who are homeschooled. So kids just sign themselves out, but instead of sort of being at home with mom and dad, they come to us and they put together a portfolio. And so when they apply to colleges, they apply as a homeschooler,
right,
which is becoming so ubiquitous these
more
days
common,
where kids all over are doing it this way.
Right.
So colleges don't even really bat an eye. Now, there are some colleges that might say, well, because you're a homeschooler, you have to submit SAT scores.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there is that possibility. But generally, it's widely accepted as an option.
Yeah.
But the second question that parents give us, in addition to the college question, is, and we call it the, well, what about algebra? What about math?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, I mean, fill in the blank,
okay,
right? It's like some parents, they want their child to learn a foreign language. And so they say, well, what about Spanish?
Makes
what
sense.
About Russian?
Sure.
And so, what we do with families is we talk about the fact that while, our cooperatives don't necessarily require kids to take any specific class. Kids make deals with their parents, right? Parents say, no, you're going to go to Princeton Learning Cooperative. Math is has to be something that you do. And the other thing is that we try to have kids come to things on their own terms, right? So they sit down with us and they say, oh, I really want to go to University of Colorado. Well, we're the ones that are going to break the news to them that if they want to go to the University of Colorado, they have to do math. University of Colorado is looking for math. And while we're not going to necessarily make them do it, the University of Colorado requires that. And so they're now given the choice. So you come here, and so they then suddenly have a little bit of a switch where they say, well, okay, I really hate math, but this is a goal of mine to go to the University of Colorado. I'm going to do math. So a lot of parents, you know, they think, well, you're not, you don't require the kids to do anything. Won't they just sit around and play video games? And when
that was my next question.
Yeah. No, I mean, and you know, we many people sort of have the attitude that when teenagers are left to their own devices, they generally make bad decisions, right? However, I think if they're given some freedom, but if that freedom is also coupled with real solid mentoring and support, which is really sort of the sort of like foundation of what we're doing with these kids, then they develop a sense of trust, and from being trusted, they develop a level of ownership for their education. So they might come to us and they might kind of not know what they want to do, And when with given a little space and they meet with their mentor every week and they see other kids doing classes, they say, oh, you know what? I've always sort of been interested in architecture. And we say, great, we know this guy who can come in next Wednesday and do an architecture tutorial with you and see how you like it. And so we get the ball rolling. And maybe after a month or two, the kid says, architecture, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't want to do that at all. I can't sit at a desk all day. And then they're onto something different. But then their interests are explored. And really what happens is they become self-directed. You know, like that's sort of what we like to say is our curriculum. You know, we don't necessarily guarantee particular content. We're not going to say, well, your kid is going to get this kind of writing or that foreign language, but they're going to learn how to look within themselves and figure out what it is that they love and how to set goals and how to take the steps to reach those goals. So that's sort of one of the big ideas.
Supposing their goal is, okay, I got to at least have algebra because I want to go to this college and so forth. Where do they learn the algebra?
Well, so there's a couple of different options, but typically with things like that, we have teachers who come in and teach algebra. Most of the math classes that we have are one-on-ones, and so our staff, we have three full-time staff,
right,
that generally our number one priority is the mentoring piece. Mm-hmm. Each of us teach classes. So this upcoming year, I'm going to be teaching philosophy, filmmaking. And this is because we know that certain kids are into these things. So I'm going to be teaching those. I can't teach Algebra 1. I actually failed Algebra 1 in eighth grade. I had to retake it in ninth. But so we find volunteers in the community. Typically, if a particular class is outside the full-time staff member's skill set, we find volunteers. And one of the beautiful things about our Princeton Center is that we can find, we can get work-study kids. So there are Princeton University students who get paid by the university, but they come and tutor our kids. So many of the classes are one-on-one. They're really tailored very specifically to each of the kids' interests. Some kids want just straight-up textbook. Some kids want more hands-on kinds of things. And so we work with our teachers to help the kids get those kinds of things.
Interesting.
Really? Do they have to take math, English, language?
Science, chemistry. Science, you obviously don't anything. Have a chemistry lab there.
Well, we do. We actually do have a chemistry class.
Okay.
At the Princeton Center, I know for sure we have a chemistry class. I mean, do we have a lab? No. We do have to go outside to do, you know, because we don't want to toxic fumes to be in the center.
Sure.
But to answer your question, I don't know if what you're asking is, do they have to take certain things?
Right.
So no. So the way that we describe our center is that it is totally non-coercive. So the kids only do the classes that they want to do.
So if they want to do just gym, that's all they do?
Yes. The short answer is yes. The longer answer to that is that it's rare that that's the only thing. It's rare that kids will go years and only want to do one thing, right? So like I was saying before, I mean, kids might come and say, oh, I'm really interested in X, and they do that, and maybe they have a strong interest, and that's the only thing they do for quite a long time. But often their tastes change. Their friends are doing other classes. Their friends talk about how interesting the evolution class is, and so they sit in on the evolution class, or they go to the activism class. And so they start to dabble in different things, and usually that translates into finding other interests. You know, one of the stories that we often tell is about this boy Nathaniel, and I was talking about architecture, and he thought he was into architecture. That's all he wanted to do, and so he got an internship at an architecture firm in Princeton. All he wanted to do was take architecture classes and the math that was needed. And after a while, he was just like, ugh, I don't like this. I don't want to spend my time doing all this math. And at the same time, he really got into fitness. He would do all these these mud runs and these Spartan races, and he got really into learning about nutrition, and now he is in college, and he went for I believe it was exercise science, and he wants to open his own gym, and so kids can take these really drastic turns in their interests if they're exposed by the right person at the right time. And so, like, sometimes this exposure wouldn't necessarily happen in school. Sometimes it would. I mean, sometimes kids go, absolutely. I mean, that 10th grade chemistry class that a kid takes in a public school, and the world of chemistry is open to them, and that's all they want to do. And it's fine. But no. So the answer to your question is they don't have to do anything. And generally, kids will sort of move around. I think of it as sort of like, I mean, I don't know. I changed my major about 4 times in college. You know, I was an English major, and then I changed to history, and then I changed to political science, then to philosophy, and then back to English. And I mean, it was almost just by chance that I happened to end up with an English degree, because I just happened to do mostly
That's where you were.
It's like, here, yeah, I am at the end of 4 years, like, okay, how can I graduate the quickest? And so I think of what we do at the cooperatives is letting kids sort of, what most people tend to do in college, and they sort of dabble in, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to take that theater class that I never took before, and I'm going to take that, you know, Swahili class or whatever. And they're doing it at 14, 15, 16 years old. And in that process, so by the time they sort of reach 17, 18, they've really sort of, it's like, nope, I'm done with Swahili. I'm done with this. I'm done with that. Like, this is what I want to focus on. So, I mean, we had one parent, when her son went through Princeton Learning Cooperative, and her line to prospective parents is, I saved like $100,000. Because if her son didn't sort of play around and find what he loved when he was with us, he would have done that in college, and he would have gone off and, you know, spent $50,000 a year on, you know, pursuing who knows what degree, only to then abandon it and it be sort of this worthless piece of paper, you know, in the bottom of his closet. So I think, I mean, I don't know. There's so much I want to say, right?
I think it might be really cool to jump ahead to some of your success stories, because people can't necessarily make the leap between this really unusual school and where they end up.
Right. Well, so, you know, to be honest, I don't know that I can sort of name specific kids right now. I mean, they are out there in the world. I mean, they are studying with engineers, or they're in college. I think the thing that we generally say is that the kids go off and they do the things that they want to do. Nothing that by not going to school... nothing was unavailable to them.
Right.
And so if college was the thing that they wanted at the end of high school, coming to us, they went off to college. And they're doing the things that they wanted to do. So that to me sort of feels a bit of a success, you know, because these are kids that, you know, maybe they would have been fine in public school, but maybe not. I mean,
do you have any of your students have a mental illness or a physical disability or anything like that? And that's why they left high school?
We have had kids in our centers who have had anxiety or depression.
Right.
If that's what you mean.
Right. Anxiety is considered a mental illness, so is depression.
Yeah. So there's definitely, like I was saying before, there are some kids who school can just be overwhelming, you know. So whether that's anxiety or I'm by no means am any expert in this. Whether school phobic is simple anxiety, I'm not really sure. But some kids do come to us that, you know, school is just too overwhelming. In some cases, I wouldn't say that it's mental illness, but it's just that the sort of social aspect of school is might be just difficult to navigate. I think the world is pretty different, you know, is changing very quickly in terms of social media and things like that. So bullying is definitely an issue. But anxiety, depression are things that some of the kids that come to us are dealing with.
It's it's funny because I hated school.
Yeah.
I went, and all these teachers used to tell my mother and tell me, he could go to college. He's, you know, so bright. He's not just applying himself and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Well, I hated it,
yeah.
You know, and I only went because I needed, you know, at least a high school education, you know.
Yeah.
So when I got out, I was 16 most of my senior year, and my birthday wasn't until February, where I turned 17, graduated in June, and joined the Air Force, you know. So
right.
But I have I'm having a little difficulty.
Yeah.
Processing this.
Sure.
Like someone comes to you, a parent, or parents come to you, and their child has whatever, and you give them this alternative structure. If the kids don't know what they like or what they want to do or whatever, how can they know what to study?
Right.
Or what to do? I just...
Yeah. Well, I mean, so...
Because I never knew what I wanted to do.
Right.
Even when I wound up doing it, I didn't know that's what I wanted to do, you know.
Well, so I mean, I guess there's a couple different ways of answering that question. I mean, I think one thing that I would say is that you're right. There are a lot of kids that don't know what they want to do. But I would argue that the reason they don't know what they want to do is no one has ever legitimately asked them. That for a good part of their life, they've been told what to do. I mean, I'm not even saying that really in a critical way. I'm just saying that in a matter of fact, like this is the way that typically the world works. That kids at 5 years of age, they go off to school, and they're given sort of a prescribed set of data that they're supposed to know. By the end of a certain year, the student will be able to blank. And so, and listen, there are a lot of great teachers out there, and they make this stuff fun, and they play with the kids, and they do projects, and they go on trips, and all of that's really great. But sort of underneath it all, I feel that the implication is that the school knows what's supposed to be learned, right? But the other implication in that is that the child doesn't. And so so when people ask that question of like, well, how do they know? Well, the interesting thing to me is that if you do sort of legitimately let kids explore on their own, they will find that way. I mean, and we've seen it with kids again and again in our centers, that kids come to us and they sit down with their mentor in week one, and the question is, so what do you like? What are your goals? What do you want to do? What classes do you want to attend? And in some cases...
And what if they say, I don't know?
They say, I don't know. They say, so the mentor, you know, works with the kid. So the mentor might say, well, we have this class and we have that class. Would you like to try this? Would you like to try that? They might say no to all of that stuff. And so, but we sort of stay on course where we say, okay, we're not going to step in and tell a kid, okay, now then you got to go do that. We say, okay, you don't know right now. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. You don't have to know. I mean, I'm 42 years old, and sometimes it's like, I don't necessarily know what I want to do. You know, I don't know what I mean, it's, we give them the opportunity to sort of just be at rest. I mean, I think of it as, there's all these external pressures of right. the world, right? So, like, always telling people
what
to do.
A lot of times parents put the pressure on the kids.
Yeah, right. You know. So it's school, it's parents, it's all kinds. I mean, it's what's coming out of the television, what's coming out of kids' phones.
Right.
Like, all of this stuff is telling kids what to do, what to be. And we like to provide a space for them to, like, no, like, what you decide is okay. And so like I was saying before, we like to think of our curriculum as self-direction, right?
Okay.
So you might not necessarily learn Russian coming to our center.
Right.
You might not necessarily take a particular science class, but at the end of your time with us, you will be able to sort of look within yourself and know what you like, what you don't like, what your goals are, what the steps are to sort of move towards that. So whereas at the beginning, I mean, and especially with the younger kids that come to us, parents are very, very anxious about kids
when
not
knowing. When you say
younger,
you're talking like ninth graders, 10th graders?
Well, we have some kids as young as you know, 13.
Okay.
So what might be... Might be seventh grade, eighth grade.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for the parents of those kids, I mean, those kids are like, the parents say, well, he doesn't know what, you know, how is he going to know what to study? And it's like, well, let's just see how it goes. And you would be surprised. I mean, there's a kid who all he wanted to do, computers. Within a month, he was obsessed with making stained glass, you know,
yeah.
and right. never in a million years would his parents have thought that he would be into that,
right?
You know, and it just happened to be sure. there. The other kids were doing it. Oh, I'll check that out.
Right.
And they
right.
go, they check it out, and he absolutely loves it. And now, is he going to do that for a living? I don't know. He'll
right.
probably do computers.
Right. But he still knows computers.
Right. And, but still, you know, it's letting kids come to things sort of on their own terms and sort of removing all the sort of extrinsic motivation. And by doing that, something sort of emerges right. from inside. And, you know, we also have to be willing to accept that sometimes a kid's idea at 14 years old of what he wants to do with his life might not necessarily be the most practical thing. It might not necessarily fit our vision of what we think he should do. But we also have to recognize the fact that there's a good chance that this is going to change.
Right.
You know, that at 14 years old, he doesn't
have
to know.
He doesn't have
know.
A clue. He doesn't,
yeah.
Someone don't have
he doesn't
a clue.
Have to know. Like,
when
oh,
I was 14,
well,
I, there was no way I was thinking what I was going to do with my life.
Right,
you know,
right.
I just wanted to play ball. And, you know.
Right. I mean, and so you know, I mean, interestingly, the fact that you're saying that you hate school, I mean, like, what if you were given the opportunity? What if someone said, well, wait a second. All right, so all that stuff at school, what they're making you do that you don't see any purpose in, you don't see anything, what would you want to do? And maybe if given time, you would, and maybe it would start off with, I only want to do baseball. That's all I want to do. And you play baseball for a while, and then after a bit, you're like, well, maybe I want a little something else with my life, and you find something right. else, and you sort of cobble together, and then who knows, you wind up doing a radio show, and you know, and you parlay that in with your love of baseball. Who knows? Like,
but right? You know, by the same token, I don't know how schools are now. But back when I was going to school, we're talking late 50s, early 60s, if you weren't directed towards college, they had the alternative classes you took.
Right, right.
Social living, you know, that sort of thing.
Sure.
Rather than algebra and chemistry and what
yeah.
have you.
Yeah.
So I was in those classes. They were boring. And it was like, huh, okay.
Was this like a vocational school?
No,
like, or
no.
But were they like what would be sort of vo-tech classes
no,
now?
No,
they weren't.
No, not at all.
I'm not sure I even know what you mean by social living. Like, what is
well,
that?
Well, they taught how you lived, how you had to get along with people, and you know, that sort of thing.
Okay.
You know, they taught English. I mean,
right,
you know,
right,
but
right.
There were certain things you had to, you know,
yeah.
in order to graduate, you had to, you know, do. But
yeah.
it was just, you know. So I have trouble now with your school. If kids are attending your school and they want to go to college, it was always my understanding they had to have a high school diploma.
Right.
So you're saying they don't.
No, they don't. They don't. I mean, like I was saying before, so the way that our kids apply to college is by doing it as a homeschooler.
Okay.
So we put together for them a portfolio. We keep mm-hmm. track of everything that they do
right,
for
right.
the 4 years. So every book they read, every movie they watch, every trip they go on. I mean, even family vacations. You go to Gettysburg, you go to Williamsburg, Virginia. That counts towards your history class. So we put everything that they do into a portfolio, and we write it up as a narrative transcript, and we send that off to the college and the mm. colleges. And you know, they'll still have to write the essays that kids have to write
right.
for their college applications. They still have to do sort of all that stuff. But just instead of a high school transcript, they do this homeschool narrative transcript.
Okay.
And it really is, it's like I said, it's so ubiquitous at this point.
Right.
I mean, there's no issue. I mean, maybe some colleges want to see some other sort of supplementary kind of things.
Right.
But generally,
that's interesting.
It's totally an easy way to apply to college.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your vision for the learning cooperatives?
Well, our vision is that when kids reach middle school age and they're thinking about what sort of the next 4 or 5 years of their life look like, that they sort of can look out onto the educational landscape, and they can say, okay, there's Hunterdon Central, there's Polytech, I can go to private school, or I could go to a cooperative, or I could homeschool. That all of these options are exactly that,
right.
just options. That you don't have to be you know, that there's nothing that can keep you from leaving school, that school is only one way.
Mm-hmm.
Most people do it right now that way,
yeah.
But that there is another option, and that if you really sort of think about how you envision the next 4 years of your life and you think that high school doesn't fit that vision, there's another way to do things.
Right.
So that's the vision.
Okay. Do you plan on maybe opening any other locations?
Well,
down the road, I mean, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you have to get this one in Flemington done first. But.
Right, right. Well, so the vision is to possibly open another one within our organization. I mean, we've sort of thought about the fact that four centers really might be sort of the maximum for our organization. We are a part of a greater organization called Liberated Learners. And Liberated Learners was also started by Joel Hammond, who founded the Learning Cooperatives.
Right.
And so that organization, Liberated Learners, helps people all over the world, really, to open centers like this. So there, like I said, there's one in Massachusetts called North Star. There's one in sort of closer to the Boston area called Bay State Learning Center. There's one in New Haven, Connecticut. There's one in that's just opening this fall called the Hive Learning Center in Portland, Oregon. And so all of these centers are affiliated with Liberated Learners. So while our organization, the Learning Cooperatives, we don't want to get too big just because we feel like too many people, it starts to sort of lose that sort of personal mm-hmm. touch.
Right, right.
So we sort of said, all right, four is probably max. But there is this opportunity for other people to open centers wherever they want with the help of our staff and
all right,
expertise.
One quick question.
Yeah.
You do have certified teachers, right, who teach these classes?
And by certified?
I mean, yeah, you have people that volunteer to come in and talk about, say, agriculture or something like that.
Right.
But
right.
I'm talking like if somebody wants to take chemistry or algebra or, you know, a language.
Right. So I would pose the question.
Well, you're a certified teacher, and you're going to teach. So
I am.
Are there other people like you teaching?
There are some, but there are some that are not. Like I was saying, there are some. In some cases, it's Princeton students.
Okay.
You know,
yeah,
so a Princeton student, not certified teacher,
right.
But you know, has a level of expertise. In some cases, it might be a chemist, not a chemistry teacher,
right,
who's
right,
teaching
okay.
the chemistry
sure,
class.
Sure, okay.
It might be an actual farmer that might come in and do
sure,
the
okay.
agriculture class. So,
okay.
So while they are not, you know, like I sort of think of it as like they've got the expertise. They might not necessarily be credentialed.
Right.
You know, they don't necessarily have the letters after the name, but they know just as much and in some
probably
cases
more right.
than,
sure.
I mean, I don't want to
okay.
like throw fellow teachers
no, I
under
understand.
The bus
I
here,
understand.
But
you know.
I mean, so in some cases,
right.
sorry, go ahead.
No,
I was.
What's so important about your school?
Right. In many cases, that's the thing.
It's almost more than...
Right. Because, you know, some kids sometimes, sitting in a classroom with 20 other kids, math, there is no way that they're gonna get it. There's all kinds of other stuff going on in that room, right? They sit with a person one-on-one. It's like, oh, yeah, I got this. I got this.
Right.
No problem. Math, not a big deal. Which makes me think of something else, and that's the idea that you can't really learn anything unless you're happy.
That's true.
You know, like if
you've got
like,
10 other things on your mind,
if you're in an anxious state,
right.
If you're in anger, if you're in some other sort of emotional situation. It's like impossible to learn anything
right.
for real.
Right.
Whatever, maybe you memorize something, but
In the last couple minutes, two things.
Yeah.
This Saturday you have what?
We're having our big open house.
That's right.
So this Saturday from 2 to 5, 168 Main Street in Flemington. It's right next to the Flemington Baptist Church on the corner of Main and Church. From 2 to 5, we're going to have a little live music. We're going to have food. Staff members will be there. Kids who are going to be attending in the fall, their families will be there. There might be a couple families who have had kids already go through our centers might be there. It's just sort of a big celebration. So it is child friendly. So bring the whole family, come out, have some iced tea, play some cornhole, listen to some music, learn about what the Learning Cooperatives does in our community.
Great. So can we get a phone number? Have you?
No, we're going to do that. You go ahead. You know,
phone
you can
number
say
or website?
Well, the website, you can go to RaritanLearningCooperative.org.
Okay.
To be honest, Learning, the phone number escapes me at the
it'll
moment.
It'll be on the website.
But
RaritanLearningCooperative.org.
Correct.
That's not your.
I believe it's, is it cooperatives, plural? So I actually looked at it this afternoon,
well, so the,
and I thought it was.
So there's two websites. You can go to learningcooperatives.org, and then while you're there, there will be links to each of our centers, and it will be RaritanLearningCooperative.org, PrincetonLearningCooperative.org, and BucksLearningCooperative.org.
Mm-hmm. Right, the number on your card is your cell phone. Is that what it is?
Let's see. No, that is not my cell phone. You can reach me, though, at the cooperative number, 609-851-2522.
Do it again, just in case.
609-851-2522.
All right. Yeah, keep your card. Yeah. Okay. And I hope to be there on Saturday for a little bit.
Great.
So, you know, I assume you're going to be there.
I will be there, okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'll probably be there at 6 a.m.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to be there at 6 a.m.
No,
so,
no.
You know, but,
no, I'll probably be mopping floors. We're getting the building ready. We had a lot of painting and mm-hmm. cleaning and
right.
furnishing.
Well, Scott, I want to thank you for coming, and we'll have to get together again down the road a little bit after your school opens. And,
thanks so much
we
for
can
having
do
me.
It again.
Sure,
you know.
Get an update.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
And see where you're at then.
I'd like
you know.
That.
Yeah, I'd like it too. So we'd like to thank you for taking the time to come, and especially during the eclipse that is going on out there now.
Yeah, I know.
It sort of got dark.
I'll fill you in on that.
Yeah. Was that just clouds
that's
out
she,
there?
That's where she ran out to before to see the eclipse.
But the darkness, was that from the clouds or was that from the eclipse?
Clouds.
Oh, it was more from
cloudy.
The clouds.
Just at the central moment.
Right. Right.
All right. Folks, you've been listening to Mental Health Matters, and remember, mental health does matter. We'll see you again next week, same time, same station. Enjoy and be safe.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available